Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
So, there are some categories which the Tonys used to include that are not there anymore. And what we're going to do is we're going to imagine who we would pick to win these awards if they were still part of the nomination process. So here's our first one. They used to separate Best Play and Best Author. So it was possible that even though you won Best Play, you did not win the Best Playwriting Award. And the most prolific example of that is 1965, when the best play was The Subject Was Roses, written by Frank Gilroy. And the best author that year was Neil Simon for The Odd Couple. Who should win Best Author? Here is mine. I'm going to throw mine out. Mike Bartlett, I think, should win for – I think The Humans will win Best Play, but I think Mike Bartlett should have won for King Charles III because I think his playwriting on that was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, fascinating.
So that's where I'm throwing it, is to Mike Bartlett. How about you?
I'm almost the reverse.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I personally would give Best Author and Best Play to King Charles III. I just love them both, but but – if I were going to say, which did I like about King Charles III more, I just thought the whole production of it was absolutely incredible. So I'd probably give that Best Play versus Best Author to Stephen Karam for The Humans. But I'd probably give Best Play to King Charles III ultimately as well, just because that doing it in verse and in the style of Shakespeare. So cool.
I think it was a lot of cool stuff.
Stephen Karam. I think that he's special.
He's a wonderful playwright.
I think that as a playwright, so very special. So I think they got it right.
By the way, this
year.
Category, this fake category that we're talking about,
yes,
is one that I've been angling for. Like, I know the Tony voters or the Tony committee. I want that category to be reinstated because I have strong feelings about it. When War Horse won Best Play a few years ago, I was so angry because there were good plays that year.
Interesting.
Yes, just because it wasn't the production wasn't perfect, the playwriting is amazing.
Play.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, listeners, let us know how you feel about this, about these categories, because we'd love to hear your feedback. Now, in 1964, they stopped giving out Best Conductor / Best Musical Director as an award.
Yeah.
And our guest, Don Pippin,
right,
was one of the last few people to receive that award for his work on
1963,
Oliver.
1963, yeah.
So who, if they had a Best Music Director category, who should be getting it this year?
I know. You could say Alex Lacamoire because of Hamilton, and he did basically everything on Hamilton, and with Lin-Manuel and Logic, the software program. But I think Rob Berman is one of the most special music people out there. Not only has he been with Encores and done like dozens of shows there, and from old 1920 shows to contemporary, but he had three shows this season. He was in Dames at Sea. He did Bright Star, and I'm missing one.
I just saw him a couple of nights ago at Do I Hear a Waltz? Even though I know
he's been at the Kennedy Center. I mean, he is just a superb musician and special. And so
you want him for Bright Star?
I want him for Bright Star. Yeah.
He's on my list too. I want him for Bright Star as well.
There's so many that you could say. One of the easy ones to say is Mr. Gemignani for She Loves Me. Because he's again legendary in a number of things that he's done, especially with Rounder. I mean, it's so hard. I think I'm with you actually on this. I think the music direction in Bright Star is just
give it to Rob Berman.
Yeah, Rob Berman.
In 1948, this was the only year the category ever existed. In 1948, best performance by newcomers. And guess who won the award that year? Two people. Ready for this?
Bernadette Peters. Oh, she's not that old? Oh, okay. No,
sorry. June Lockhart from Lassie. She was the mom on Lassie. And James Whitmore, who... Yeah,
were they in Where's Charlie? I mean,
I don't know what they were in. James Whitmore was an incredible actor, right. But most likely in his last years of his life, known as the Miracle-Gro salesman. But they won in 1948. So who do you think should win this year? Best performance by newcomers.
Well, it feels like the newcomers is also the leads of the best actress in a musical.
Which is cool, yeah.
I do. I mean, like, which is amazing that Cynthia and Carmen Cusack. I mean, that's it.
It'd be a tie for women, for sure. Carmen and Cynthia... Hands down.
I put mine down on Jennifer Samard and Alex Brightman.
My question. How do you define newcomer? Because if we're talking about Broadway debuts, it's tough. But if you're talking about breakout performance, for sure.
I will do my research, but I feel like these were June Lockhart and James Whitmore first time in a Broadway show.
Yeah.
I will do my research. But I feel like that's what it is.
In our fake category. Because
the Theater World Awards that they do every year.
Yeah.
Those are for
first-timers.
Yeah. And they'll make an exception if you were like a swing in a show and then you like had a speaking role for the first time. So, but yeah, it's tough because Alex Brightman, I agree with that. Yeah. He's been on Broadway a million times.
It's tough, yeah. Now, this was interesting. Tony Award for Best Stage Technician.
I was shocked by
now,
that.
This ended in 1963, and there were no nominees. It was just you were given the award, so it wasn't like you were competing against anybody. Who should win?
The paint mixer for American Psycho.
The prop master.
The guy's got the prop master.
So much blood.
So much blood.
So much blood.
Just,
so
you're God bless.
Properties guy.
It's like Jim, you know.
Or gal on American Psycho.
Some guy or girl that's been local one forever and ever. And they're the prop master.
I love that.
It makes like $200,000 a year. Yeah.
And that's him. Good. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
This should be like the We Feel Bad For You award. Like the person who has to clean up the most mess. So like Blackbird, for instance, that trash room at the end. You know, someone's got to clean that up. That's tough.
That's true. They destroy that stage.
Anytime you have a set that's destroyed, you're like, or like where there's blood splattered everywhere.
Totally.
You're like, oh God, someone has to actually deal with this every day.
The goat. And the goat, or who is Sylvia? Oh, they did the same thing. Remember that? They destroyed that set.
Mine is, it's a...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A three-way tie.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. I love really went into this.
Okay. It's between the people who worked on Huey, Misery, and China Doll.
Oh, God.
Did you see China Doll?
Yeah. It's the people that were in charge of the earbuds and teleprompters. Mm-mm. I'm being dead serious. The people that had to sit there and feed the lines to Bruce Willis, Al Pacino, and Forrest Whitaker. Because if you're doing a show, you know, like, all right, I can take 20 minutes off here. I got 5 minutes off here where nothing's happening. These people had to sit there intensely and listen every single night and then go, is that a pause or do they not know the line?
Totally.
But they used to have prompters back in the 1600s. And so I think it's a hard job. Yeah, I think it's an art.
For sure.
I think they were all over the media this year, and nobody knew who the hell these people were.
You're totally right.
And I'm
right.
Like, you deserve props, the three of you.
Word.
Amen.
So I don't know who they were, but God bless you. Sound design, because apparently nobody knows what a sound design is or how that's accomplished. Best sound design of a musical was a Tony category from 2008 to 2014. Then it went away. So who should get best sound design of a musical this year?
I have two winners in mind. one of which is Bright Star, and the other which is The Color Purple.
Okay.
If I had to give it the edge to one, I'd probably give it to The Color Purple.
Okay.
I thought they were the most well-mixed shows this year. From where I was sitting in the mezz for Color Purple and the box for Bright Star, I could hear every word, I could hear every note, I could hear every instrument. Some of the shows this year, the big juggernaut, half of the stuff you can't even hear. I mean, Hamilton, if there were, let me put it this way, if there were an award for worst sound design of the year, Hamilton and She Loves Me.
Oh, wow.
Those shows need to be better
mixed. School of Rock?
School of Rock was well
done, because you've got your onstage musicians, you've got your pit, you've got your young people singing. I think that sound design.
I'd put that up there. Yeah. Yep, for sure. I'd put that
very cool. There. Same thing, Kevin?
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to give mine to Dan Moses Schreier, who is the sound designer on American Psycho. I thought the sound was actually...
He's done a lot of good work.
I think a really instrumental part. Oh, yeah? He was your guy for Little Night Music? Mm-hmm. I really appreciated his work. Best sound design of a play, also 2008 to 2014, then they got rid of it. Who would get this award?
This is easy for me.
Who is it?
This is King Charles III.
Oh, yeah, me too. Paul Arditti is his name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Ann Diddy. Sorry, Paul Ann Diddy. Sound design for King Charles III, which is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm.
I have not seen all of the plays this year, but I'll go with that.
Great.
I think a lot of people would say like The Crucible or View from the Bridge because they had that music the entire time. But
and then I heard, but
too
also,
much for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's
too much.
Yes,
too much.
Too much.
Exactly. It only takes so much. Now, this was never given out at the Tony Awards, but it's a category that people have been talking about. Best Ensemble. Mm-hmm. Best Ensemble for a play and Best Ensemble for a musical. They give it out at the Screen Actor Guild Awards.
Does it mean like the ensemble, like not the leads or the whole group?
The whole cast. Wow. The whole cast is one group, works really, really well. Yeah. So who would that be?
Well, if it's the way that the drama desks do it, which is if your cast wins Best Ensemble, you're not eligible for individual... acting categories.
Oh, okay.
Like, so the Humans this year won the Drama Desk. So for Best Ensemble.
Okay.
So Jane Howdyshell and Reed Birney weren't eligible for nominations.
Sure.
Which is sort of sad.
Yeah, because they're wonderful, yeah.
If that's how it were, I would want to give it to a show where there isn't a lead performance you also want to acknowledge.
Sure.
But I mean, the Humans, I think, is the best example of that this year. Maybe you could make an argument for King Charles III as well. Maybe you can make an argument for... if we're talking musicals, She Loves Me. Mm.
I would say, I think Disaster has like the most overqualified. I mean, ensemble
Correct.
Of people. Yeah. Like, it's like, what? All these people are in one show together. Every time I walk by the Nederlander and see that everyone's unfortunately closed now, but like all their faces out. I mean, you're like, really? All these people were in one room together.
One room.
Also, Shuffle Along. I mean,
those
are unicorns in one show. I mean, that's just crazy.
And I wish that you could almost split it in half, like adults and kids, because the kids in School of Rock.
Oh yeah, they're pretty good.
Kind of
those are all those.
They're
good.
Not going to get Tony nominations because they're each individual tiny parts, but they're so good as a whole.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a good group. Mine, I think, for play, I would do the Humans. For musical, obviously, I would do Hamilton. I think they work incredibly well together as an ensemble. If not Hamilton, though, I thought the Bright Star team really worked well together. I think they all mastered the style, and there's also a lot of dependency on each other that I think comes across in the storytelling, and so that would be my pick. And the last category, which the Academy Awards do, which Tony's has never done before, is Best Song.
I love Satisfied. I'm sorry,
Satisfied,
but like, I feel
Waitress.
Like Lin-Manuel wrote like seven hit songs, and so did Sarah Bareilles. Yeah. Like, so like,
I know my nominee, who my nominees
yeah,
would be.
Yeah, that's, I did that too. Who are your nominees?
So Satisfied from Hamilton.
Uh-huh.
Room Where It Happens from Hamilton.
Yeah, that's on my list, yeah.
I'd say She Used to Be Mine from Waitress.
Yeah.
When He Sees Me from Waitress, whatever it's called,
the
song that Kimiko sings, from Bright Star at Long Last.
Nice. Other ones on my list, I put If You Knew My Story from Bright Star. I think it's a really great
opening. I'm not
good
with the titles. Which one is that?
The opening number.
Okay.
Yes.
Which I thought was a really wonderful way of setting up the tone. I thought Never Ever Getting Rid of Me from Waitress that Christopher Fitzgerald sings was really adorable. And a little shout out to Allegiance. I really liked What Makes a Man.
True.
Which was the song Tai Liang sings in the really towards the beginning of the show. And I thought that was a really well done number. So I don't know what would win. I think probably be The Room Where It Happens. I think that seems to be the juggernaut that everyone's
satisfied for me.
Yeah, for me, I'd give it satisfied. Or She Used to Be Mine. But by the way, since you just mentioned Allegiance, shout out to them because they got a rough rough deal with when they opened in the season. And I thought that musical was better than it got credit for.
And they fought real hard to get that. They fought so hard to get that show to Broadway.
Yeah, there was a
some
lot of great
good performances stuff. In that. Some great music in that. A good book, actually, one of the better books of the season, I thought. So,
I think Allegiance was a really lovely show, and I'm so sorry it didn't last a little bit longer, because there was some, like you said, really, really good stuff in there. Don't forget, please follow us on our Facebook, Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends, on Twitter, at Broadway Curtain, and on Instagram at Broadway Curtain Podcast. There's a lot of social media here, but that was Instagram, Broadway Curtain Podcast. Till next time, take care. Happy Tonys.
Drops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now. And get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.